Welcome to Big Blend Radio with your hosts, Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigBlendMagazine.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Big Blend Radio. As you know, Nancy and I travel across the country full time documenting parks and public lands while we balance the radio shows, Big Blend Radio, and our different Big Blend magazines. And one way we do this, and we started doing this almost it's about a year and a half ago. It was in July of 2020. I can't keep up with my dates anymore. Everything's a blur. We had Angela Laws on our show talking about Trusted House Sitters. It's an incredible platform. Go to trustedhousesitters.com where it connects pet parents and homeowners with pet sitters. And no money is exchanged, but you know, pet sitters come take care of the home and the pets while the homeowner or pet parent goes out traveling. It's a very cool program. And she was on the show. And after she was done on our show, it was our summer festival in 2020. We're like, well, this sounds like a good plan since we're traveling full time and there's COVID. And what a great way to be back with animals, have a little bit of normalcy from going from hotel room to hotel room. And it's turned out to be probably the best thing we have done being on the road on our Love Your Parks tour. In fact, Nancy, if we knew about this when we started back almost 10 years ago, like, where were you, Angela, 10 years ago? But welcome back to the show. I have to tell you, this is the best thing. And if we just, I wish we'd known about you a long time ago, because we would have definitely been doing it. And we've had such an incredible time with the pets. We have a huge pet family now, an incredible time with the pet parents. We've made a lot of friends. Mm-hmm. We've got to live in places as a local, like truly as a local. It goes beyond being like an Airbnb. This is more like you have responsibility. So you need to know how to get to the vet or how to get to the hardware store. You also get to learn where the best bakery is or the best pizza place is. So I don't know about our waste, but this has been awesome. So welcome back. And how are you?
I'm really well. Hi, Nancy. Hi, Lisa. I'm really well. And I am still in Scotland after being here since March 2020. And you know what? You have both discovered a lifestyle that I've been living for the last 10, 11 years, actually 14 years, but 11 years with Trusted Home Sitters. Wow. And at the center of everything we do is these animals that just bring like-minded people together. And the way we travel and the lifestyle that we have is authentic and it's real. And it's I always say it's my three P's, which is pets, people, and places. And those three go together like, tea and biscuits and everything else. But the animals are what bring us together. And that's how we have such a unique community. It's authentic, it's real, it's unique, and it's like-minded people who are there to care for animals. That's their pet parents who want the best for their pets when they travel, and that's sitters who want the best experience and pet companionship, and that's exactly what we have.
It's true, because before we went on our tour, we were thinking of the tour for our business, right? And but we had two cats, and Morris, the big boy, 27-pound cat, died. And about 8-9 months later, as we were told by the vet, the other one, Athena, the goddess of everything and all things, would have the same problem and die. And they both do. They were both street cats that we adopted. And
they lived to over 14 years old. So
we had them a long time. So we were like, oh man, we went to Saguaro Park, National Park, because we were so upset. We went with the friends and we were like, oh man, and shall we do it or not? Because we're like, the one thing that kept us in a home was our pets, and now they're gone. And what we said, we always promise ourselves, like, when they're gone, we're traveling. And then it was like, are we really a traveler? Let's go get more pets. right? Because there's so many needy pets. But then we thought, no, this is our chance. Let's take it. And then when you guys came along with Trusted House, it was like, oh, man, this is cool. We got the
You can have your cake and eat it.
Yeah, this is the best.
You can. You can have pets and you can travel. And your story is very similar to mine, because I started this when I lost my beloved Holly, who was a Springer Spaniel, who was my heart dog and my best friend for 14 years all over the world. And then I decided that I really didn't want to take on another pet of my own at that time. And again, I love to travel. And so that's what I started to do. And it's just the choices we make in life and the places that we're taken to. It happens for a reason. And the reason is that you actually are you enable those pet parents who do want to travel for whatever reason that is, whether it's, you know, vacation, whether it's a business or anything, you can actually enable them to go away with absolute peace of mind, knowing that those pets that are so precious to them are getting this care that they wouldn't get anywhere else. And often we give them more care, and it's not because we love them anymore. We do love them, but it's because that's what we're there for. We're there, and our focus is the pets. We also keep the homes really safe, and we water plants, and we mow lawns, and we do all of that good stuff, but we're actually living in a home away from home, in a community, connecting with like-minded people. But at the center of that universe are these animals that give us so much. And people say to me, because as you said, Lisa, at the top, when we first started, no money changes hands. And I get people say to me, you do this for free? And I go, well, I do it because it's a fair exchange. It's actually, you know, benefits everybody. There's not one side or another that actually benefits more than the other. And in the middle are those pets. And the reason that I do that is because at the end of the day, I get far more back than I ever give. I mean, it's just the friendships and everything else. It's just an incredible lifestyle choice.
Except for when you leave, you get all blubbery. That has the very first pet sit with Cusco and Lubbock, which we got, we've seen now what, 3-4 times, like, and we're going to be seeing again. And the first time, and we're leaving, and I'm getting all blubbery, and Nancy's like, get in the car, because I'm all like teary. She's like, they're going to think you're weird. And then she's like, stop it, because I'm going to cry. And we're all teary eyed. And I have to say, it has not changed one bit, because you live like they do. You know, you fall into the routine of the homeowner, like you taught us that, you know. It's like when we first started, it's like you're trying to mimic what they do. So if cats want TV at 9 o'clock, really it always starts at 3, what we've learned, and then you put the TV on for them. If they get fed at 4 in the morning, you get up at 4 and you feed them, or if, whatever it is, you try to mimic that routine of the animals. And then you get into this, and they have their meow meows, or their, you know, their quirks and their characters. They're friends. They become friends. And when you leave, you're like, oh, and then you wake up somewhere else, like in a hotel room on your way to another place. And you're like, where's the cats? Where's the dogs? You know, where's the chickens? I can't hear the rooster. You know, so it really is rewarding. Something, you know, we wanted to touch on today is, you know, when we first started, COVID was, you know, still really, really strong. And of course, it's up and down and changing around the world. And Trusted House Sitters is global. Everyone just go on trustedhousesitters.com and you will see pet sits around the world. You'll meet pet sitters around the world, which is absolutely amazing. How has it been for Trusted House Sitters now? You know, just when we came on board, there wasn't a huge amount of travel, but we were busy. Nancy and I were busy sitting. But how is it now? Is it getting very busy for all of you on the other side of the website?
I can't believe how busy we are and how many listings are coming to the site, especially in the US and the UK. Australia and New Zealand are still lagging behind, but then, you know, they've only just come out of lockdown. But the one thing that, our members who've stayed with us all the way through COVID and are still with us, the one thing a lot of our sitters have actually discovered, which they probably didn't had COVID not arrived, is that there are amazing things to see in your own backyard. I mean, and there's domestic sort of sits that you can do. You don't have to fly around the world to actually have a great experience. And if you're a pet lover, you know, a pet in 50 miles away is exactly the same as one 500 miles away. You still have that same experience. But as travel is lifting, there is more demand for, you know, further and more sort of international travel is starting and opening up. But there's still, you know, there's still sort of people are still tentative because it can change. I mean, the circumstances can change. And what you don't want to do is be in a position where it changes so much that it alters everything. And so I think there's still a word of caution. However, that caution isn't related to how many listings we're getting and how many owners are coming to the site and how many sitters are coming to the site. We're busier now than we were even before COVID. And of course, looking ahead, you've got the big holidays coming up. You've got Thanksgiving, you've got Christmas. And what I could say and what I will say is that, you know, make sure you make your plans early. And I know you have to take into consideration travel and travel related things, and COVID is it is different now. There's no two ways about it. You know, it is different. Unless you're getting in a car and you're actually in total control of your travel, then that's the same. But if you're going on, you know, if you're flying, if you're going on trains, it is different. So you have to bear that in mind. But it is happening, and we have got amazing, amazing sits on the site and wonderful sitters. So yeah, people are traveling.
And I think it's what's great too is you've started a community forum for sitters to communicate and learn from each other and get tips from each other. I remember, you know, and also homeowners and pet parents are on there too. So there's this community learning from each other. I remember Millie passed away, sadly, one of our little baby dachshunds that well, she wasn't a baby, but you know, she'll always be a little
like
baby to us. Yeah, she. I know she was an elder pup and she was one of the first sits that
sweet
we
dog.
Booked. And she's, you know, like I said, since passed, but we took good care of her. And then it was at her end of time stage and she was having a hard time eating. And so I went on the forum and I'm like, does anybody have any other tips? We're trying this, they're trying that. Cause they came to us, the pet parents wanting to, you know, do you have any tips? We're trying this with the vet. Anybody have tips? And the support was so beautiful through the forum of people with what they've been through. And so it seems like when you go on the forum, and I need to do more, you know, I've been traveling, but when you get on there and do more, it just seems like people are supporting each other, whether it's like, oh, I haven't, you know, I've been turned down on a pet sit. Well, you know, it's the way it is. You know what I mean? And people like keep going. And then next thing, oh, I got my first pet sit, and people get all excited. And then it's like, you know, everybody wants to learn from each other. So I think that's really cool that you've done that, because it's a very intimate experience.
Yes, it is. I mean, it's very emotive. We have, you know, we have a community that's driven on passion and emotion, and when animals are involved, that's going to be there, and that's, you know, it needs to be there. But no, the forum is really, it's one of our success stories post-COVID, because we started it was in testing, and then we launched to our entire community in April. And we've just seen engagement grow and grow and grow. And actually, I put a post on there tonight, a tongue-in-cheek post about, I was so excited because As you know, I mean, I pet sit full time as well, but since March of last year, that's been curtailed a bit because I'm now in Scotland and I haven't been traveling so much as you two have. And I've done some cat sits in Edinburgh in the last couple of months, and I've got another one down south. But today I just confirmed my first doggy sit. That's since so March fun. 2020. And I'm going to be looking after Dexter, a Labradoodle. And you know what? I love all animals. And the cats have been amazing. But I do miss a dog. Because the other thing about sitting a dog, when you work remotely like I do, and you two do as well, when you sit a dog, they actually make you get away from your devices. They give you a work-life balance, because when you get up in the morning, you can't come down the stairs and sit straight in front of your laptop. They need walking, they need feeding, they need all of that stuff, and they need that at lunchtime, they need that at night. And so you do have to get up out of the chair, because I know me, I can work 12 hours straight and never get up except to go to the little room. When I'm looking after dog, it actually balances my day and also gives me something other than work. And yeah. I love my dog, I love what I do, but you know, sometimes you need to step back, and that's what being in the company of a pet can actually do for you.
You know, it's so cool. We just met two little pups that we're going to be taking care of in December. So right now, as we're recording this, we're in Asheville at a repeat sit, two cats, and there was a dog here, Luna, before, but she was a rescue story. That's a pretty incredible story. But while we were here, we booked a sit for Asheville for December, and I was like, oh, we're coming to town, so maybe we can connect and meet the dogs prior, which is such a treat when you get to do that. You know, we've done that once in Tampa, Florida, with a couple too. And you get to, at least the dogs get to know you a little bit more. And we were almost late to our next appointment yesterday, but we got to sit and meet the two pups and do the feeding
cute.
Do the potty stuff and go walkies with them and spend time with them. The ladies are awesome. It was just such a wonderful visit. And you really do make these connections, and I'm going, we're doing cats to dogs, and these little dogs, I mean, the one is like a little Yorkie, little Piper, little Yorkie cross Maltese, and I'm like, you're as big
so
as my
tiny.
Foot. I mean, my foot is big.
So tiny.
You're, and I'm like, I don't want to step on you, but the little energy, I'm sorry, I get all giddy. I love these little dogs. So we're all excited because, you know, you meet them ahead of time and you know they remember you. So do you have that experience too? Like when you go, we do a lot of repeat sits, which is lovely because you know the home, you know the parents, you know the animals, but they really remember you.
Yep.
They absolutely do. I can recall them and so many of them, but one in particular that was in LA and I was living in Vancouver, Canada, and flew down there and I went to look after Stella the first time. And then her and her mum and I, we just clicked. And in actual fact, Eileen, her mum, and her dad are coming over here because he's actually from the UK. And they're coming up to see us, and that's going to be in December, the beginning of December. Now, this was seven, 8 years ago that I first met them, when I first went to look after Stella. So that first time we went, and then the second time, they were not going to be there when I got there, and I had a key, and I let myself in, and it was quite dark because I'd flown in from Vancouver, and it was later, not too late. And I went into the house, put the light on, and dear Stella was upstairs in her mum's bedroom. And I went up the stairs very quietly on my hands and knees, and I just kept saying, Stella, Stella. And she came to the top of the stairs on her tummy, and she sort of stopped for a minute, and then I said, hello, baby. And she started to scream. I mean, she screamed and her tail was wagging, and it was like, oh, you're here. And that's exactly how it used to be. And it is with the pets that you care for and you go back, they don't forget you. They do remember you. And There's something in the cats as well. There's something really, really special. But there is one thing I want to touch on, because there'll be those pet parents listening to this who have never experienced trusted house sitters, never experienced the way it works. And they're probably wondering how this all happens, and you have somebody come into your home and look after your pets while you're not there. Oh my goodness, why would I have a stranger come into my home? Yeah. And we understand how that can be in somebody's mind. However, the one thing about it is that there is a process for engaging sitters and going through the website and doing all of that. And our sitters are verified. Many of them have full background checks. They're reviewed. You can see reviews from previous owners. And so you start a conversation and you make that connection, so that by the time the sitter arrives at your home, they are not a stranger, and you're not inviting a stranger into your home, because we would be the first ones to put our hands up and say, no, you don't have a stranger walk off the street into your house and give them the keys and walk away. And so that is, and I think it's not until you actually understand how it works and just what, you know, the dynamics of it and just what the sitters and the quality of them and why they're doing it. We don't get paid. I mean, it's not a job. It's a lifestyle choice. And the reason we do it is because we love to give. We love to share and we love to give. And that's the sum total of our community. That's why it works. Yeah. And that's why it works so well.
That's interesting, because a lot of the, you know, pet parents will say that to us, like, you know, I keep telling, you know, our friends that we do this, and, you know, our friends will, like, you let somebody into your house, and like, you have not experienced this until you experience it. That it really works. And you know, some of the places people have taken us, and our friends Andrea and Phil took us around Peachtree City. Here Lisa and Asheville drove us around, so we knew where we were and got our bearings. And if you've been to Asheville, everybody, you know what I mean, you need to get your bearings somehow. I'm still not quite there, but the roads are interesting. You'll find
it's an
and GPS doesn't quite work, but it's a cool community. But you know, the people, it's just all of a sudden there's this clicking of a lot of people are very much like welcoming the sitters in, going, I want you to be cozy in our community. And we watch people, you know, we're in the tourism industry, and I swear half of the, you know, the pet parents should be working in tourism the way they promote their community. They're like, they leave guides, you know, and there's a welcome guide for us, you know, whether it's printed out when we get there or through the website. The website is like, you get the information and you have communication. Yeah. You always do communication beforehand. You always, always do, whether it's Zoom is awesome. A lot of times you get to meet the pets and you can see the home before you go there, and everyone gets to see each other. We have the technology now, and if you can do that, it is awesome, because you've already overcome a lot of the we don't know each other hurdles if you do like a Zoom or Skype. I think that's
absolutely really works. And of course you can also use the technology to stay in touch with your sitters and your pets while you're away. I mean, I've had pet parents who actually wanted to Skype with their dogs.
And
of course you can. However, getting the dog to cooperate is like mom's on the other side of the screen and she's calling your name, and they're sitting there going, What's no, I'd rather have a bone right now, or I'd rather have a treat right now. I can just hear this voice calling my name, but I don't know where it's coming from. But and you sit there and you want them to be really, you want to be animated, and you want the pet parents to actually think, oh, he's talking to me, and you're going, oh, yeah, and you're trying to do it, you're trying to manage this script and this production, and the dog's not cooperating. It's but no, you stay in touch, you send photographs and WhatsApp messages, and you couldn't do that with any other, you know, you put your dog in a kennel, they're not going to sit and WhatsApp you and send you photographs. And you know, then, and the dog doesn't want to be in the kennel anyway, would rather be at home in its own bed with its all its smells. And the thing about
that is so true.
nothing changes for them. Their life stays exactly the same. They just have a different caregiver giving them their food, their love, and everything that they
and
need.
Treats.
Yeah. I've done a lot of animal handling, coming from lions, tiger, cougar, down to dogs, down to guinea pigs. And I can tell you now that when you put a dog in a kennel, no matter, I'm not against kennels, I'm not saying anything bad about them, but the dog always feels like they're being punished. You can see it in their eyes. They look down like, what did I do? And they don't understand, and they don't understand what's going to happen, especially the first time.
And that's so true, especially of rescue pets.
Yeah.
They've been taken out of that environment, taken home. They've been loved. They've been put in this safe environment where they feel that they're living their best life, and then you suddenly take it out of them and put them back to where they were taken out of. You can't do that, and that's why keeping them at home is so important. Mm.
Well, one thing too, go ahead.
If you watch a dog's eyes, especially, cats kind of just stare at you like, what the heck? But dogs, they look up at you, and when they start looking down, they look up, and then when they look down at the ground, you already know. If you're watching, you already know. They're like, oh, not this again.
Mm. Yeah.
You can see it.
Some get in suitcases. Yeah, but they know, even it's interesting because they know when it's time for us to leave too. It's like they'll look and then, you know, we don't like to leave the premises until the pet parents
are home. Back. Yeah.
Anything can happen. You know, sometimes it doesn't work that way on people's scheduling but we always want to stay to the very end and try to have a buffer time in case planes are delayed or anything happens, you know. And so then it's a seamless transition for the pets when you know their family comes home, and then they look at us and go, well, thanks for playing.
You see you next time.
Yeah, thanks for playing, and it was a great time. But you know, my real parents are here now. Off you go.
You know, there's so many times that's happened to me that I've been with this wonderful adorable dog. And I felt, oh my God, it's in love with me, and I'm world, and I'm with it, and I'm treating it just as it's my own, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. And then that moment when their real pet parent walks through the door, it's like, okay, no, I'm not quite as important as I thought I was.
I know.
But I'm glad about that. When you do repeat sits, sometimes I see that look on the owner's face, like, pet parent's face, sorry. When you walk in and the dog goes crazy, or the cat's like, oh, cool. And then they get to be the, oh, too bad for you.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a
two-way street, you know?
It's interesting what happens. It is a two-way street, but it's like they know they're getting like full on 100%. It's all about them. And it doesn't mean the pet, like you were talking earlier, it does not mean pet parents are not taking care of animals whatsoever.
No.
Everyone's busy. They've got raising children, doing business. And when we come in, our priority is the pets. That's all we're doing all day, you know, or we're talking to Angela on a podcast, and that's part of it. But, you know, they're part of the podcast. Half of the animals are on the podcast, but it is what we do all day long with them, is play with them, make sure they're eating and have a good time. And so we have our own games, and they have like this newness of someone coming in, and we bring new games to them, or, you know, they teach us their games. It's like this whole, it's a new friendship. It's like, okay, we got new kids in the schoolyard. And once you get to know each other, it's family. Mm. It's fun. I love it. But I wanted to touch, go ahead.
And we mustn't forget that it's not just dogs and cats. It's
chickens,
any animal.
Chickens, horses, pigs. Tortoises.
Oh, pigs. Yeah,
horses.
Yeah. Llamas, alpacas. Absolutely. Cool. If it lives, breathes, and your pet, then we will take care of it. I will take care of anything. I do draw a line at scales.
Scales.
Oh, and snakes. Like, she's not snakes. She's not into snakes.
Oh,
see, we will.
Snakes.
I found snakes on people's property. Like, yeah. If there's snakes around, I'll find it. And it's yeah, really true. Wherever I go, there are snakes. And it's just,
I'll take
they're
care
there.
Of the snake.
Oh, that's great. Now no one's ever going to want this.
I would take care of snakes.
Yeah. I mean, there's a sitter for every pet. We know that. There's a sitter for every pet. But the funniest thing I looked after was three coony pigs. George, and he used to have his dinner indoors. He came into the kitchen and he had his dinner inside, but he also used to take the elderly, deaf and partially blind black Labrador for walkabouts.
No way.
They would go up the driveway and George the pig could open the gate. And one day, but the owner didn't tell us this until one day when the neighbors brought them both back, and we knew they were gone. So we were looking at, this is a big property. I mean, I'm talking 5-6 acres. So we were looking for them, and the neighbors came back and said, "Oh no, they do this all the time." And I thought, well, I wish the owner had told us that. This is where the communication comes in. But anyway, so George used to come into the house, and he had free roam of the house. And he was a big pig. But the only thing that we were grateful for was that he wasn't allowed upstairs on the bed, because I might just have drawn a line under pigs on the bed. I do dogs and cats on the bed, but I don't know about pigs. Yeah. But that was so funny. But the thing about that was that it was just very difficult for my husband to ever look at bacon again. It was just...
Well, I know, because pigs, I mean, it's true. Pigs are so cool. I love pigs.
Cool.
You know, and Nancy loves her bacon. And I keep reminding her, look at a pig. Look at the pig. Like, you know, Well, the other thing I wanted to touch on too is, you know, so COVID's happened. A lot of people have adopted animals during COVID and been home with them 24/7. Or people have had dogs now that, or cats or pigs or what, you know, chickens, whatever it is. You're home with them more, so now the attention level has changed. And so now if you go away, to now suddenly have maybe a pet sitter that only comes in and feeds and waters and cleans and leaves. Here's your half hour of playtime. Like when you talked about the Zoom call or the, you know, we've done that with a cat, you know. Oh, I want to talk to my cat. Oh, okay, cat, come out of the bushes. Let me take my phone under the bushes, you know, and that's what I did. But if you think about it, animals have their thing and their schedule and their time of how they want to do things. So someone comes in, and I'm not knocking it, because this is, it's an important service no matter what. They come in for an hour. I'm going to come in, feed, water, clean, and do whatever within that hour, and you're going to pay X amount. And it adds up, by the way. And so the animal now suddenly, you need to play on command. A cat's not going to play on command if you are there because of your schedule and it's cat nap time, you know. So when a trusted house sitter is like, we're there. And, you know, I'm not just talking about Nancy and I and Angela. I mean, the pet sitting community, we know, okay, let's go by the animal schedule. If we're going to go and do something in town or go look at, you know, go to the arboretum or something, you're going to go for a couple hours and come back, and you're going to go according to the animal schedule. And that way you can be there just like the pet parents are and have been. It's one person walking in once a day for an hour is not going to do well for your animal. And there's no one watching. If you're training a puppy, you know, for the first year to year and a half, you got to reinforce the commands, and someone coming in and reinforcing the commands is a really good training technique. So there's just, and medically you need to have someone to be there as well, because you never know. And if you're there hanging out with the animals, you see that. And I don't know, every sit that Nancy and I do, Angela, we walk away and go, how do people not have this? You know what I mean? Because
with houseplants, because some people are really, we sat at a house where she had 1,000 houseplants. I kid you not. She said there's 1,000 houseplants. And there was. And so we had to take care of 1,000 houseplants, which for me is only a pleasure because I'm a plant lady person. So I could go and see, put my finger in the plant. Now you don't need water. You do. Wow, you should have been watered 2 weeks ago before we even got here. You know, and to be able to do a sit like that and know that not only did you not lose any plants, you saved a couple. I like that. I really
Nancy, 1,000 plants. That's a jungle. I mean,
it was a nursery. It was really cool.
It was like a nursery. That's
a little bit out of the norm, but you know, you choose your sit. If you don't want to, and you have that communication beforehand, you know, this is what you're walking into. If you are not set for plants, don't go.
This is the whole point, and I refer back to when I said about the stranger in the home. It's the communication, and it's actually making sure it's the right sit and the right fit, not just a sit for the sake of a sit. And you know what? Talking about somebody popping in once a day, when you stop and think that, okay, that may seem to you that that's a good option and a good solution, but when you stop and think that from wherever time that person comes in, and that will probably be between 9 and 4 in the afternoon, you've then got all night long that you've got animal in a home on its own, whether it's got an automatic feeder, an automatic waterer, an automatic this, or you've got a camera on it that you can. I couldn't bear that because I would know they were alone and they wouldn't know I was looking through a camera. But the thing is, you've got that. And do you know what? So many problems, health-wise or anything, happen to animals in the middle of the night. And I know that for a fact because my daughter is an ER and critical care vet. And the time that is the busiest is the night shift. That's the busiest there are, you know. And so how do you know that between when you're tucked up in bed somewhere on the other side of the world, that your animal that you've left is okay? You don't know. But if you've got a sitter in there with them, the same as you would be, and they would know if an animal was in distress at 2 in the morning, they would know. If anything happened, they would know.
Yeah, and I want to touch on that, because the one really, you know, when you first came on the very first show, like we were talking about, you know, I always looked at, okay, well, you know, you go in someone's house, they could accuse you of doing this, or what if you break a dish or whatever? And then what about the animal care if an animal gets sick? So that's one of the beautiful things about Trusted House Sitters is you have a vet hotline, and we haven't had to use it. Touch wood. Now, I don't want to. I don't want to have to, but it's there for the homeowners too. And I tell the homeowners, you have this too for you, you know, and your pet parents, you can all use it. So there is it's like tele and, you know, online vet care, but you also have insurance. So the homeowner has extra insurance and the pet sitters, and it goes in different levels on the website, and it's all very cost effective. So there's all this backup on that. And, you know, when you go into a pet sit, the homeowner pet parent has filled out an entire welcome guide. So you do have some work. And it's a good work to do, just even, where is our vet? You know, it's good to update your vet records just in general. And, you know, so it's like, okay, how does this work? And we've known even just people just getting started with Trusted House Sitters as pet parents are like, I do need to tell people where the batteries are for the smoke detector. Where are the cat carriers in case there's an emergency? It's not just, I don't want to freak people out, but yes, there are hurricanes and wildfires and things like that too. And when you have someone in your home, you know, it's not just the person coming in for a pop-in, like you say, Angela, the pop-in. I love that, that term. But if you're there, everyone's being taken care of. You know, if there's an evacuation situation, and I need to talk about that because it is happening all over, are dealing with that in this country a lot. And so we have to. And I would say if you live in a hurricane zone, a wildfire zone, earthquake zone, tornado zone, you need to have someone who's not only just, oh, it's time to evacuate, someone who has been there to spend time with your animals so that when it's time to call, if there's some kind of disaster, we've established a relationship with the animal so that there is a communication. So they know, okay, I can trust this person. They even say now in evacuations, that the animals should be crate trained so that if they're in an evacuation center, how to take care of them. And so the animals aren't as freaked out. So,
well, and also because maybe the neighbor who pops in, right? They're living next door or a couple houses down. They are told to evacuate, so they're taking care of their stuff. Does that have the wherewithal to run over and take care of yours too? Not so much.
No, and you could have an animal that's scared and nervous and they can't get them, they can't catch them, they can't put them into crate. And what choice do they have? The only choice they have is to leave and leave the animal there. Mm. And these extreme situations are happening all over, as you say, Lisa. But then on the other end of the scale, not so extreme, is, you know, you go away and nobody's in the home, nobody's with the pet, and there's a power outage and your freezer packs up and you come home to a freezer all over the water. I mean, just, you can imagine the awful sort of mess.
Yes.
But all of that thing. And also when you're away, it's obvious there's nobody in your home.
Exactly.
It's obvious.
And this is a big deal in this country right now. This is a big deal.
And absolutely. And so what better way that to care for and protect not just your beloved animal, your home, the most precious possession you have that you've walked away from, you need them cared for, loved, and protected. And that's what a trusted house sitter does. And according to your instructions, they don't do anything that you don't want them to do. They don't do it in any way you don't want them to. They do it exactly the way you want them to. And it is a fair exchange. You know, you're getting a sitter in your home that you're not paying, but that sitter equally is getting a lovely home from home in somewhere they want to be. Many sitters actually use pet sitting or at holiday times when they go and visit family and friends. They don't want to live with them in the same house. They don't want to be there, but they would like to be in the area. You know,
don't stop me on that.
Auntie Mabel's Thanksgiving table and go, do you know what? I need to leave here. I'm going to say, I've got a dog to get back to, so I'm leaving.
Yeah, we all have the two-hour rule now. We have the two-hour limit. Two to four hours. Yes.
Yeah.
If we got to go, we really do, you know, and that's kind of a good thing. But, you know, it really is a beautiful thing that happens between the people and the animals, the home, the garden. And you, as a sitter, you also gain knowledge of how to do things you didn't think you knew how to do. If you know, you go in with an open mind. I learned how to do maintenance on a washing machine. I've learned how to do ice and snow shoveling. I know different lawn mowers. We learn different coffee makers across the country. They all vary. Nancy knows how to do any kind of coffee maker you can imagine.
Oh, yeah.
So you learn all these different things.
Watch out, Starbucks.
I think it's so.
Okay. Be honest and put your hand up and say, what is the one thing, I'll tell you what mine is, but you have to tell me what yours is. What is the one thing that you go into somebody's home and that actually leaves you with, do you know what? I can't figure this out. I know what mine is and I'm pretty good technology-wise. That's what I work with. So is there anything that you found that just goes, you know what, I don't get it and I'm not going to use it, so goodbye?
Okay, it's not that I don't get it. It's that I do not, the Roomba thing. I don't like the No, I don't like them because the animals don't like them.
Some don't.
Some
no,
of them,
But I know how to clog them now.
But yeah, I just, it's like all of a sudden it takes off and we might be in the middle of an interview or something or something else. But I see the pets look at it and they roll their eyeballs kind of like I do. And they're like, oh God, not that thing again. They don't like it because, and I don't know that they're that efficient, but I'm sorry, Wumba, but no. I don't like you.
But you know what? There's some cats that get on them and go for a ride. I mean,
it's no way. I haven't seen that. But I have seen a great Dane. I have seen a great Dane sit on one, not when it's moving.
Yeah. No,
I can take them apart now.
The one thing that gets me, the one thing really, and I don't watch much of it, I am stumped by television sets. They used to be simple and turn on and off. They don't anymore. You need a degree in engineering and technology.
Yes. I would say that is absolutely, you know, dishwashers can be interesting too. We don't normally use, we just, you know, we don't watching cook a feast. So, but the TV thing, I thought I had it handled, I recently realized you can make the sound work from a lamp. So I'm out. But, you know, and we don't care because we'd like, we'll watch TV on our computer. But the animals want their TV time. It's like, that's like family time. They want their TV. Cats, especially. Dogs have their TV time. I mean, the next set of dogs that we're going to take care of here in Asheville, apparently, one of the instructions is do not put on anything with animals because the one dog will bark. It barks at the Geico commercial.
Like the Geico lizard.
That has a lizard on it. If there's animals, the dog will bark and attack the TV. Now I'm dying to see this.
Now I want to see.
It's a little puppy, you know? So, it, you know, to me, yeah, there's always something different. Alarms, doing the alarm system is always nerve-wracking because I don't want any big loud sound to go off.
I hate them. I've been in houses where those alarms have gone off and it's so deafening and the fob has work to turn it off, but the amazing thing is the police don't turn up, so it's like, okay, this alarm's going off and nobody cares.
Well, here's smoke alarms are a good one because if the owner of the house doesn't make sure the batteries are good, you could have a smoke alarm go off. And I don't know, some of the ceilings, vaulted ceilings with smoke alarms, and you can't reach it without a ladder.
Yeah.
And the pets are freaking, and your smoke alarm's going off, and you're trying to hit it with a broom to open the...
No,
smoke alarms are bad.
Alarms are hard because now they're all connected. So if one goes off, the other one goes off.
They all go off, and then the whole house is beeping, and you're like, oh... Cool.
But that's what I said, you know, with the homeowners on their side, you know, your guide is very thorough. It's like, hello, we need to know how to do things. And going, meeting up beforehand, sometimes we stay the night beforehand.
Yeah.
And it's really great for the animals if you go the night beforehand, because then it's like, then the parents leave in the morning or whatever time it is. And the animals, no one's missing. There's no gap. And you're part of that system and you go through the house and there's always another question you didn't ask, no matter what. We write notes, we have our own list of questions, but no matter what, there's always that question. And, you know, we stay in touch with the homeowners. We ask them when they arrive at their destination, please let us know you've arrived. So we know, we want to know you're safe and sound. And we send updates, photographs, videos every single day. If they want
absolutely.
It, you know, so it's really an awesome thing. And I'm so glad to hear how busy you all are because it's an awesome platform. And we know, when you see an owner come home from travel, especially if they haven't been able to from COVID or not having the right person that they can trust and they feel confident and they're out and really having a good time and they come home with smiles on their face.
Yeah.
It's priceless. Yeah. I mean, we're in tourism, and we have the magazines and we do all these travel stories and podcasts and articles and videos. But when you actually see someone come home having experienced something, and we know that just that individual connection that we were able to help them go out and have fun or whatever, there's business, there's all that, but to see them come home and be content, it's awesome.
And then usually within 10 minutes, they ask, like we go through the house with the pets with them. They're like, okay, when do you have free dates again? We're like, okay.
Yeah, you know. When can you come back? And I think also, you know, we've got a review page on Trustpilot.com and we've got nearly, I think, 14,000 five-star reviews. And they're from, that's the most of any pet and travel company on there. And just go on there. And the phrase that actually goes through many of these reviews that have come from owners is, this has changed my life, and from sitters too. Changed my life. I wish I'd known about you before. It's one of those things that takes a little explaining. When you use it for the first time, it is a leap of faith. We know that. However, everything is there as your safety net. Everything there is to support you. The membership services team that you can get hold of. And the forum now that you can come to. And I manage the forum along with another colleague. And we are both extremely experienced sitters and owners. And so we know exactly what it is you need. And so you've got all of this support. And if there's a problem, you've got somebody to help you. And if, you know, if you need a question, if you've got a question, if you want any advice, or anything, you're not alone. And that's the most important part to remember, is that there is a community of like-minded people who all want the same thing, and that is that you have the most successful experience there is.
Everybody wants that, absolutely. Yeah. Thank you so much, Angela. I know it's late over there in Scotland, beautiful Scotland, Bonnie Scotland. Do you have a kilt? I need to know if you have a kilt.
No, I feel cold.
You need a kilt.
Kilt for you.
Next time you come on here, we want to see you in a kilt.
I don't have a kilt, but I do have a tartan because my family name is Sinclair, and that we own the Outer Hebrides. I don't think we own them now, but we used to own the Outer Hebrides, and so. We're Viking stock. So we
know, because we used to help the Scottish Highland Games that were put on in San Diego. And Sinclair was a huge family. Their tent was full of people.
I have to tell you, the last time you were on the show, Minnie the cat here in Asheville jumped on my lap. And guess what? She came to say goodbye to you. She came here. She's here. I knew it. I was like, if Angela's on the show, Minnie will come out from her resting place, and here she is. She's here. So I just, it's amazing. It's amazing. Everyone, trustedhousesitters.com is the website. Really, it is life-changing. It is. We are so happy that we do this, and we've got a whole new network of fur friends, scaled friends as well, and feathered friends, and plants, and people. So it really does rock. Thank you so much, Angela.
Thank you. Stay safe, travel safe, and we'll talk to you soon.